If he's done a few great things for you, just put your hands together. If he's done a few. Some of you all like me, I would have to clap my hands until my hands ache. For me to clap my hands about what God has done for me in my life, watch this, that I didn't deserve, come on you all, that I didn't earn. Somebody say, grace covered me. Grace covered me. Grace. Just grace covered me. Grace and mercy and kindness and love. It just covered me. He saw more in me than what I saw in myself. He saw more in you than what you see in yourself. God is seeing more. He wants to do more. God is not finished with you yet. Matter of fact, God is only getting started right now. God is only getting started. Believe you me, it is not what it looks like, somebody. It is not what it looks like. What it looks like is a bit fregazy right now. It's not a diamond, believe you me. It's not. It's fregazy. It's phony. Believe me. The devil is always setting traps to make it look a lot more bleak than what it really is. You better lean on somebody and tell them God's still on the throne and God is still favorable to his people now. God is still in the blessing and the favor business. I don't care what anybody is saying. Boy, I feel like the Lord has a word for each of you today. He's spoken to me over these last couple of weeks. Of course, we so enjoyed our spiritual mother of Victory Christian Center last week. Amen. Pastor Kathy just preached such a mighty, mighty word on get in position. And as I said I was going to do, those of you who were here, you know she threw me a football, and I had that football signed. And I've got that football kept with me. But to God be the glory. I feel like the Lord is speaking a specific word to me today. And you know, I had the opportunity, one of my spiritual sons, Minister Bill, he coaches over at Sharon High School. They had a great year this year, fell just one game short of the state championship. And he has opened up a door for me to go in with that team in a lot of games. I probably had 3 or 4 games this year. And usually when I go, I talk to the team. So I give them that pregame speech. Now, you know, I love that, y'all. You know, I get worked up. I get jacked up. You know, I get excited about that. But something kicked in my spirit that I said the last time that I was with the team. And this is really going to speak to this message that I'm going to preach. And it was something that I had told the team. I told them to look around in the locker room. And I told them to look on their right and look on your left. And I told them to say to the one on your right, I got your back. And I told them to look to the one on your left and tell them, you got my back? And then the other would answer, I got your back. And before you know it, the entire locker room was in an uproar. One side was saying, I got your back. The other side was saying, you got my back?
Yes, yes, Pastor.
It was so crazy. Don't even play. Because I want to hear us this morning, because this is where I'm going today. So I want to hear from here on over, I want y'all to say, I got your back. That was okay. I mean, but it's more than 10 of y'all over there. I mean, just over here say, I got your back.
I got your back.
And then over here say, you got my back?
You got my back.
Now I need you to look at them. Don't look at me. You're talking to them. Look at them and say, I got your back.
I got your back.
Now you ask them, you got my back?
You got my back.
Okay, now y'all say, I got your back.
I got your back.
And then y'all say, you got my back. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on. Listen, we living in a world that, listen, God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But I'm a preach this thing this morning, because somebody need to know that although I know God is for me, I need to know Bill got my back. I need to know if some people on this earth that got my back now. When I go into the prayer closet, when I go into the prayer room,
I need to know it's some humans that got my back. I know I can call upon the angels. I know that. But do you got my back? Say, I got your back. Somebody give God some praise in this place. Woo. Bless God. Y'all ready for the word this morning? Genesis 9, 18 and 23. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on both of their shoulders and went backward, watch this, everybody, and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Before you're seated in this beautiful sanctuary this morning, I need you to go to four people and tell them, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Just cover me. Cover me. Four. That was only two. Go to four. Cover me. I don't know about you all, but most of you in here have made at least two or three mistakes. And when you make those mistakes, you would rather people cover you. I know I'm striving for perfection, but I'm not perfect. And many of the mistakes that you made, you didn't really make with intent. You didn't make them with intent to mess up, but yet you messed up. But instead of blasting on me, I need you to cover me. Because if you tell me you got my back, and I tell you I got your back, two people that got each other back make sure that they cover one another. Exodus 14, we're going to walk our way through this word today. Exodus 14, verse 21. Watch this. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land. Somebody say dry land. And the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, how powerful is this, everybody, that Moses has lifted his hand with the staff and the waters have literally split. And the Bible says that the people of Israel begin to walk on dry ground. And on the right is water, and on the left is a flowing water. But the people of Israel are walking on dry ground. Now, we have to say and come here, everybody, and let's bring it into 2018. I still believe that there were many who were at a miraculous mindset of what happened. The Bible doesn't go into specific about the reaction of the people. Can you imagine being one of these Israelites that begins to walk on dry ground, and the waters have risen all over, and you are actually not just seeing a miracle, you're actually walking through. I'm trying to tell somebody, you're going to go from watching the miracle to participating in the miracle. They're walking through, watch this, everybody, and it's like being at the aquarium. Right. Because they're walking through dry ground and they see sharks and whales and fish. Watch this. They're seeing everything that can harm them, but yet God has provided a way for them on dry ground, which means everything around you can seem like it's going crazy. But God will make sure that his people walk on dry ground. And so we have it here that as they are going on this dry ground, that these men, matter of fact, let me give it to you as it is written. Watch this. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. This is good, everybody, because really what this tells me is that even though you may walk into miraculous measures in your life, it won't stop the enemy's pursuit. Yeah. Just because you get into a place where God begins to do the super miraculous, things that you've never experienced, things that you've never been, places that you've never been, stuff that you've never done. I mean, just supernatural things. Don't you know that old nefarious nemesis will yet follow you through? Because some of us get overwhelmed oftentimes because we're trying to figure out, well, why is the devil, he's still after me. He's still after me, and I feel like that I've made so many gains, but I'm still dealing with it. Well, the Bible that I read says that the devil, he roars like a lion, right? He's seeking what? Who he may. But we know we serve the true lion, amen? We know we serve the Lion of Judah. And the Egyptians pursued him and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down, get this, the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. That's good. So there's a pillar and fire and cloud, and I don't have enough time to go into all of that, but you all know that the Lord led them through the pillar, the fire, and the cloud. And that cloud led them. It led them. So the Lord looks down upon them of the dip through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he watched this, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove through with difficulty. And the Egyptians said this, everybody, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Wait a minute. So as they are pursuing the Israel, they are pursuing the people through the water, it is the pillar of cloud that the enemy sees. It is not the people that the enemy is afraid of. It is the presence. It is not the people, everybody. It is, even when I say, you got my back, I got your back, that's powerful. But I need you to have my back with power. Because the people that I need to cover me have a presence about them. They have a glory about them. The devil is intimidated by the power, not by the person. Let me say that again. The devil is not intimidated by the person. He's intimidated by the power. Do you have any power? Can you pray and walls come down? Can you cast out devils and they actually be released? Can you speak into the atmosphere and mountains actually be moved? Now, you're not going to be able to do that by your own power. Lean on somebody and say, you're not that good. But there is power in the name of Jesus. And so when I speak to the mountain by the name of Jesus, that's how that mountain can be removed. When I speak to that mountain in that forthright, and so the enemy sees the power and the presence of God. And when you know it, they look at it was the presence, and they look at each other and they say, they covered. They are, watch this, the enemy is hunting them down. But what the enemy sees is the presence of God. And it is the presence that opens the enemy eyes to know that they're covered. And the Bible says that the Lord, he actually throws the wheels off the hinges. And wouldn't you know it, here's what I love. I see it as if God has lured the enemy into the miracle for a moment. Because you all know when the enemy, those of you who know this particular text, when the enemy noticed that the presence of God was with them, he then tried to make an exit. And so what God did is God waited till his people got on the other side. And when the enemy was trying to make an exit, the floodwaters began to collapse.
Wait a minute. Y'all looking at me like I'm not saying something.
You need to know that there's not anything that you need to do other than depend on God. Because I don't see them doing anything but walking on dry ground. See, there are seasons when you don't even have to fight. You just need to walk through dry ground. You just need to keep going. The problem is that as our dear woman in Sodom and Gomorrah, see, you don't need to look back. Hear me, everybody. You coming into a season where there's going to be floodwaters all around you. There's going to be stuff all around you, and you may be pursued by the enemy. Matter of fact, let me say this. Any child of God is a threat to the enemy. Let me say that again, because some of y'all don't. Any child of God is a threat to the enemy. I know, and I've said it jokingly, but I know it's probably the case. I know that if hell has a most wanted list, I got a picture down there. Because I know that the devil hates me. I'm not worried about the devil, you all. I'm worried about the fulfilling the destiny and the call of God on my life. You cannot be worried about shaking up hell. I ain't trying to make the devil mad. Are you serious? I'm trying to shake up everything in hell. I want everything in hell to begin to shake, begin to flip, begin to shake, rattle, and roll. God is my source. God is my covering. God is my protection. What can man do to me? Somebody say, follow the cloud. We're living in a day and time when you need to follow the cloud. Even if you're looking for a church, you need to go where the cloud is. Some of you looking for relationships, go where the cloud is. Some of you looking for jobs and opportunities, you got to find the cloud. You got to find the presence. It's not about money, everybody. It's not. It's not about money with jobs. I know money answers all things, and God gives that to us. He lends it to us for this season on the earth. And it provides provision and sustenance for your family in a temporary measure. But I'm saying is that you cannot spend a lifetime chasing money. What you've got to look for is you've got to look for the cloud. Because wherever the cloud is, there's the presence there. There's the glory there. My gosh. You need to look for the cloud. You need to look for the glory, even when it comes to relationships. I know I've been touching on this a bit because I know we got some single folk in here. But you need to look for the cloud. You need to look for the glory. You need to look for the presence. Does that person have the glory on them? Do they have the presence of God on them? Why? Because everything between us is not always going to be at a 10. So when we go through just a few things, is there a glory cloud? Are you going to follow her or are you going to follow the glory? I know I have that in this beautiful woman that was just up here on stage with me. I know that there's a presence over her life. Many of you spouses can say the same thing about your spouse. I know there's a presence over her. I know that. I know when she enters into our home, she brings a presence with her. I know that when she leaves our home, there's a presence that goes with her. I know that she can speak and she can decree. I know that she can pray. I know that she can lay hands upon me. She can lay hands upon my children. I know that she can pray over any sickness, any illness in my body, and it be done. God, I know that she can cover me with all of the weights of the world that may come against me. I know that I have a cloud. My wife. Just be searching for the cloud. Searching for the presence. Let me keep going here. Matter of fact, write this down. Because this is what was happening here in this particular text here in Exodus 14. Was there was a glory. And some of you have heard this word before. But it was the Shekinah glory. It was the Shekinah glory. A little history here, short history. The Shekinah, the Jewish rabbis coined this extra biblical expression, and that what all it means is he caused to dwell. He caused to dwell. The Shekinah was a luminous cloud that rested above the altar in the place of worship and lit up the room. It was the Shekinah glory. So when we talk about the Shekinah glory, this cloud, it rests above the altar place, the place of worship, and it lights up the room. It's that glory. It's that glory that when they're passing through on dry ground, it's that glory. It's that beacon of light. It's that beacon of light that you need sometimes when life gets tough. Come on, somebody. When life gets tough, you need that glory. You need that Shekinah glory. God is that Shekinah glory. This is not something that you go home and say, okay, well, you know, let me Google Shekinah and let me figure this out and how I can get to Shekinah glory. God is that glory. God is that light. When you have God in his full measure, and you want, first of all, you got to understand what you're working with, everybody. This is God. This is Jehovah Jireh, everybody. This is Jehovah Rapha. This is Jehovah Nisse, Jehovah Shalom. There is no God on earth greater than our God. There are billions of gods. Literally, in India alone, there's over a billion gods. There's billions of gods all over the earth, but there's no God like our God. Lean on somebody and say, there's no God like my God. Exodus 16 and verse 6. Let me keep going. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. Because he has heard your complaints, I like this, he says, which are against him, not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord, not against us. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to the entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. Watch this in verse 10. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel, they looked out toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in a cloud. Why is this so important and why am I reading this to you? First of all, it is the living, breathing word of God. But we also need to understand, especially in verse 10, that the glory is yet in the wilderness. The glory of God is yet in the wilderness. There's glory in the wilderness. He tells them, look toward the wilderness. There they could see the awesome glory of the Lord. It reminds me of Matthew 4, when Jesus goes up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes you will have a place where you'll feel like you're in a dry season. But it doesn't mean that the glory has left you. Somebody need to get that, son. Somebody need to get that, because oftentimes people feel like, well, God is punishing me. I feel like I'm all out on my own. I'm going through this, that, and the other. It seems to be a wilderness season in my life. But oftentimes God will draw you into a wilderness place. Watch this. So that God can actually have a supple time with you alone. Because the wilderness will make you reevaluate everybody around you. It takes a time of wilderness to realize who not even covering you. Most of you in here got fans, not friends. Jesus, Lord. No way you got 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 fans. I'm sorry, friends. Some of y'all got Facebook. No way you got 2,000 friends. You can't name 2,000 people. But you go to Facebook, you know, I got a Facebook page, and I think it stops at 5,000. I don't know, I got 4,000 or something like that. It stops at 5,000. I can't name 4,000 people to save my life. I don't have 4,000 friends. What I'm saying is that oftentimes you'll have a place and a point in life, everybody, where you'll be drawn away. God will allow a few things to happen in your life. Because let me tell you one thing. I know this. Sometimes when life begins to shake up, one of the first things I do is I evaluate who's around me. I start looking at folk around me. I start making sure that I got folk around me who are actually praying for me. I got folk around me who are not just around me just to be around me, but they actually got my best interests at hand. Now, I'm just talking to you. I'm just talking to a few of you who are now left to at least two friends. That's all you got right now. Can at least half the room show me? I know you in here right now. Come on now. Some people in here, you had 16 friends when you was 21. You down to two, and one is your cousin. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. One is Cousin Gladys, because she the best. Come on. Cousin Gladys been with you since thinking, and then you got one more. That's it. Because you start realizing that not everybody's going to cover you. You start realizing that some people, you tell them to pray for you, they ain't going to pray for you. Oh, you know, I got you covered in prayer. You ain't not even saved. You got folk praying for you that don't even know Jesus. Wow. Who are you praying to? Whew. That's why it's so dangerous, and I'm not telling you not to do it. That's why sometimes all I'm saying is pray. I didn't say don't do it. I gotta put this here. I didn't say don't do it. I said pray before you do it. I didn't say don't do it. I said pray before you do it. That's why you got to be careful. Sometimes you put requests out there socially. Sometimes you put requests out there socially, on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And see, you don't know who got that. I feel like I got to come down here. You don't know who got your request who ain't saved. You don't know who got your request who don't even love God. You don't know who got your request who actually hates you. And so now you've given them the ability, because you expose what you need, and now you got to bust through a curse to get your blessing. My God, because folk are villains out here, and they will begin to curse your need. I didn't say don't do it. I said be careful. Be careful. Because you got folk sifting through your page that don't even know you. You got folk sifting through your page that you did wrong in high school. Oh, I need to talk about 32 of y'all right now. Some of y'all got folk still mad at you from when you were 17. Y'all 50 now. They still mad at you. She stole my man. Can't believe you took my man to prom. I've been married to this man for 25 years. You still tripping off of that? You have to be careful. Why? Because we're living in a time, Minister Brian, I need people to cover me. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to just put it like this. I love y'all, but y'all not going to know all my business.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
Y'all not going to know all my business.
That's
I love y'all, but y'all ain't gonna know where I'm going all the time.
That's right.
Why y'all need to know that? Yeah, you don't need to know. You don't need to know where everybody going. Why you need to know everybody? How many of y'all know that the world has gotten real nosy?
Oh, come on. Say it again.
And some people, and I know none of y'all are here, none of y'all are here, and some people like socialize everything that they do. At the mall, just bought a new dress. Eating, take a picture of their food, put it on Twitter.
Right.
On vacation, me and my whole family are on vacation. So that means your house is just open? So you're just gonna tell every robber in town that your house is? I don't understand. Because and what happens though is that sometimes, none of you are here, but oftentimes people are lonely. And when you're lonely, you will allow yourself to be governed by the world. When you're lonely, you'll post pictures and you'll wonder how many likes you're going to get. And more important than you just thanking those who have liked you, you'll know who didn't like you. And then what'll mess around is the person that didn't like you will post a picture. And you'll say, I ain't like it. See, I know I'm talking to somebody right now. I know I am. Why? Because we get so caught up in this frivolous stuff, everybody. This stuff that at the end of the day, it don't even matter. It don't matter who like your pictures or who don't. What I want us to do as a body, I want us to protect ourselves. Yes. Because some of us are in some places where we need God to move, y'all. Yes. I mean, we need God to do something that we cannot do on our own. And we are praying that God would do it. But oftentimes, we're exposing too much. Come on, every grown person in here has done that. Anybody ever told too much? I just said too much. Okay, anybody ever just told the wrong person? Come on, can we just be honest in this place? And after you told them and you walked away, you said, What if I taught you for 10 years? If you got to go to your friend and say, listen, I'm about to tell you something, but don't you tell nobody. If you got to say that, that's the wrong person. Because a true friend that's going to hold it in confidence, you don't even have to say that. You just talk to them, amen? Amen. Give God praise right there, everybody. Y'all getting something this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 9. We're going to go back to that particular verse. Genesis 9, verse 18. This is where we started. This is where we're going to begin to wind home in just a moment. Y'all just stay cozy. And the Bible says, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these, the whole earth was populated. Now, I want to go back to something, and then we're going to keep going, because I want you to take note of this. The Bible says, in Genesis 9, that these three sons of Noah, the whole earth, say that with me, the whole earth was populated. Mm-hmm. These three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the entire earth is populated by these three sons. In verse 20, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And the Bible says, as Noah, Minister Brian's going to play Noah for me here this morning, and Noah, he plants a vineyard, and the Bible says that he begins to drink of the vineyard by which he planted. And as he begins to drink from that vineyard, he actually gets drunk. Now, Minister Bryan is an awesome actor. He has never been drunk in his life. Never touched that devil's nectar, as they say. But he begins to be, listen, he you know, I'm so, you know, stuff will just come to me, and as I'm studying this, that, and the other, that old school saying came to me about Noah, that don't get high off your own supply. But Noah messed around and got high off his own supply. Some of y'all know that. Some of you got to be at least 35 to even know that. That's a song from back in the day. But Noah, the Bible says that Noah becomes inebriated, and he is drunk. He is then laid out in the tent. Now, Noah's got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Bible says that Ham comes upon his father, and he looks upon his father, and he sees that his father, watch this, is uncovered. His father is naked and uncovered. Go beyond the physical, everybody. His father is naked and he is uncovered. And Ham sees his father, and Ham leaves his father, and he goes and tells his brothers. So he goes and tells Shem and Japheth. And he says, listen, Shem, Japheth, he said, listen, dad is drunk. And not only is he drunk, he's uncovered, he's naked, and he's in the tent. I saw him, I looked upon him. But when his brothers hear what Ham did, the Bible says that, watch this, everybody, that Shem and Japheth, instead of looking upon their inebriated father, instead of seeing him, stop, men, instead of seeing him, watch this, instead of seeing him, Noah made a mistake. Ham, in his immaturity, he looked upon his father, which was a problem to begin with. He saw him, and then all of a sudden, he began to think about all of these negative things. Matter of fact, I'm going to expand on that in just a moment. But he goes and tells his brothers. Well, his brothers see, they say, okay, well, we need to cover dad. We need to cover dad because dad made a mistake. But we need to cover him. Watch this. But we don't need to look at him. We don't need to see him in his nakedness. We don't need to see him uncovered. And so the Bible says that Shem and Japheth, they walk backward and they cover their father. And then they depart as their father is covered. Watch this. They never look upon him. They knew he messed up, but they never looked upon him. They knew he was uncovered, but they never looked upon him. The only thing that was important to Shem and Japheth was that their father was covered. It wasn't about anybody else knowing. It was about covering my daddy. See, my daddy need cover. Aren't you glad that we got a Jesus like that? As many mistakes as you have made, that God has covered you. Push somebody and say, cover me. Oh, that was the wrong person. Push the other person and say, I need you to cover me. Watch this. I got to give you something. Stay there if you can, Minister Bryan. I need to give you some things. One is uncover. One is because you all need to see this. You get these definitions. One is uncover. To strip of a veil or of anything that conceals. That's what happens when you uncover. To strip of a veil or of anything that conceals. To lay open, to disclose, to view. Mm-hmm. Uncover in the Hebrew, to exile. Yeah, to exile. Nakedness. What nakedness means, watch this. Unarmed, defenseless, open, This is everything that Noah was. He was unarmed. He was defenseless. He was open. He was exposed. He had no means of protection against an enemy. Ooh, wait. He had been weakened because of his mistake. Oh, my goodness. See, what you don't understand is sin weakens you. Sin penetrates the very bowels of who you are. That's why you got to have people around you that if indeed you would make a mistake, that rather than judge you, they'll pray for you. Rather than talk about you, they'll cover you. Rather than put all your business on social media, they'll cover you. He's covered. And then watch this, everybody. The Bible says that Noah gets to a place, come on, minstrels. Noah gets to a place where he recovers. Watch this. He actually recovers from this stupor. But then Noah realizes something happened while I was in that state. And the Bible says, and I'm going to break this thing down. The Bible says that Noah curses Canaan. Stay with me, everybody. I got to teach real quick. Noah curses Canaan. Well, who's Canaan? Canaan is Ham's son. Let me go back. The whole earth was populated by Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah clearly realizes, watch this, that in his uncoveredness and his nakedness, he's been violated. Wait a minute. See, the fact of the matter is that some of you are still messed up because when you were in your weakest place, somebody took advantage of you. Instead of covering you, they exposed you. But Noah realizes that this is why he curses Canaan. He says, hold up. He says, Canaan and the generations that come after will be cursed with a curse. Now, scholars say a couple of things could have happened. They say one thing that could have happened was that Noah actually had been violated by his own son. Another, which more teams seem to lean toward, and biblically is proven when you get to Leviticus and other scriptures, is that Ham had actually taken advantage of his own mother and committed incest while his father was inebriated. His father is out because the father is the protector. The father protects the home. Y'all better hear me this morning. Y'all better hear me. What I'm saying, we're in a place in our nation, in our country, in our America certainly, where fathers are out of place. And if the father is out of place, it leaves the woman uncovered. And because Noah had made a mistake and he didn't properly discipline his sons, that's deeper. He didn't discipline his sons. So what happened is that Ham, because he did not function in the level of discipline, he may have violated and committed incest with his own mother. Therefore, Noah curses Canaan, Ham's son. He says, you're cursed. So then when I begin to think, like, wait a minute. If you begin to look in the bloodline of Canaan and the Canaanites, and you begin to look at the gods, and there's a couple of gods, Baal, that's out of that bloodline, El and Asherah, that's out of that bloodline. Why is that important? Because those are fertility gods. That's the God of fertility. That's the that's the God, watch this, that's the God of promiscuity. Came out of the bloodline of Ham. The whole earth was populated by it. The whole earth was populated, watch this, by a man who committed promiscuity, who committed incest. So that's why we're living in the day and time now. Now, I got good news for you, and I'm going to give it to you in a second. But that's why we're living in the world now. So you're talking about a third struggle in their minds with incest, with promiscuity, with sexual deviance. This is the world that we live in. And so you got two-thirds of the population who would cover. That's the world that we live in. And if I was to divide this church up, it would be shameful because, but I just know people, is that you would have two-thirds of the church that would cover, a third would expose. It's unfortunate, but it's crept in the church. But we have to understand, and we've got to get knowledge of, that when a man makes a mistake, and a man is going to make a mistake. Now, hopefully this mistake is not some heinous mistake. But none of us in here are perfect. And so we're going to make a mistake. But when I make a mistake, can you just cover me? Can you just cover me? Can you just pray for me? Can you just plead the blood of Jesus over me? Can you cover me before you start telling on me? Let me read this to you. I wrote this down. Don't just expose my flaws and uncover my insecurities. The devil does that. Cover me. Protect me with the word and speak my worth into existence. See, what I really believe, and I wrote it, is the spiritual bones of Ham have been dug up due to the improper exposing of those we should be covering. And so what has happened is that bloodline of Ham has been greatly exposed. That's why some people are in a state of confusion. Just exposing stuff that should be covered. Telling on stuff that should be covered. We've never been at a place in our world, at least I don't believe so, not in my 47 years, where we've had more sexual misidentity. There's such a sexual misidentity, and there are literally laws trying to be erected, and they're trying to figure this out, and if you're born this way, then maybe this, and this, that, and the other, and then the laws that are changing and have been changed, you know, all across America, and it's just, and what it is, hear me, you all, and be careful, Christians, don't be confused now.
Come on.
Don't be confused. I don't want us to ever say, well, you know, well, if it's happening legal-wise, then God must be okay with it. Stop that. Can I get at least 5 amens in this place right now? Listen. You all have heard me say, and I will say it until I breathe my life. I love, Pastor Love, everybody. And I don't condemn lifestyles, okay? I don't condemn them. I just speak the word, okay? I'm not condemning nobody. I'm not blasting on nobody. But the bottom line is that we live in it's like we're confused. We literally, okay. I didn't say love. Yeah, you love everybody. That has nothing to do with it. Love has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. But it is about what's right and what's holy and what's pure before the Lord. See, it was actually through Adam that one man's sin entered into the earth. But I need everybody to be excited. It was through one man. Is anybody hearing me in this place right now? I said it was through one man that the curse was broken. It was through one man that we have been redeemed. It was through one man. If don't nobody cover me, I know Jesus got my back. If I can't count on nobody, I know Jesus got me. If all my friends forsake me, I got a God who will never leave me, nor will ever forsake me. If you believe that, give God some praise in this place. Come on, somebody give God some strong praise in this place. See, I need you to cover me. And I've got an amazing wife, and Lord knows I do my best to be the best husband I can to her. But there are moments and times where I'm just not at my best. Never harmed her, never maimed her, no foolishness, nothing like that. But there's just times I'm just not at my best. And what I need her to do, and we do. Honey, come on up here. Help my wife up. Wait. At this season in our lives, somebody say covenant. Somebody say covenant. Now, married folk, you have a legal covenant. You got a legal covenant. You actually got a written document that says that you're legally married. Because if you don't have a document, you ain't married. Let me say this again. If you don't have a legal document signed and filed, you are not married. I don't care how long you've been living together. She might as well be my wife. No, she might as well not. No. If you haven't said, I do, y'all not married. And if y'all not married, then you fornicate. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Hope ain't liking that. I don't like that. If you're not married, you fornicate. Bottom line. And if you are married and you're dilly-dallying outside of the marriage bed, you're in adultery. At least that's what I heard it's called. That's what it's called. I'm being facetious. I'm just messing with you. What I'm saying is that we've got to take the seriousness of the weight and the responsibility that we have. Every married person in here, your marriage is an example to somebody. Every single person in here, your single lifestyle is an example to somebody. You say, I don't have nobody looking at me. Everybody's got somebody looking at them. But this woman has been tremendously dynamic and just covering me. Just covering me. Just, you know, I have tough times or whatever. She just covered me. And what I was saying is that you develop, I believe, a relationship where you just know. You just know. Everything, just small exposure. Like everything isn't always verbatim talked out. When you develop a relationship where you dig and you know each other and you go through some tough times, what happens is that you can be around each other and you just know something's going on. Am I talking to anybody? Anybody got friends like that? You could, because y'all so close-knit, y'all so tight, they just know something's going on. I don't want to get into no marriage compass, but the bottom line is that men don't talk a lot. We just don't talk a lot. A lot of times a man will rather suppress it. Just say, I'm cool. Because my wife will ask me sometimes, she'd be like, you okay? I'd be like, all right. She know I'm not. Now she used to. We've been married 16 and a half years now. She used to just keep asking me. And, you know, for a man, that'll drive you nuts. That'll drive you nuts. It will. It will. She'll just pray for me. She'll just cover me. And then on the other end, like with her, because with her language, it'll be like, she wants me to ask questions. Because a man will ask his wife, you say, well, babe, you okay? And she'll be like, yeah, I'm all right. Now, most men in here, you know when your wife say that, she ain't all right. And you say, yo, well, you okay, babe? And she say, yeah, I'm cool. And then I walk away. And then what could happen is that she don't do that. I'm talking about processes of our marriage that we've gone through. we're honestly at this place we've graduated onto something else. That's usually what marriage does, right? We just graduate onto something else. But what we understand is that the covenant that we have together, oftentimes, watch this, we can protect each other with unspoken words. Somebody needs to know that you can go to God and say nothing, and He knows. Because sometimes it's so hard. Okay. I don't know who I'm. Sometimes it's just so hard even to tell God what you. I know I'm not the only person that's ever gone to God and just said, you know. Everybody standing their feet all over the building. If you're in this place, and I know that you are, I want every hand lifted in this building. If you're in a place right now when you say, I just feel so uncovered. I feel so exposed. I feel like I've been in a place people have failed me. Friends have failed me. I've just gone through a tough season of life. Love the Lord. But I just feel so exposed. I feel so uncovered. And things happening in my life. I'm like Noah. Made some mistakes in my life. And instead of being covered, I was even further exposed. Thank God that there were yet people in my life who would cover me, even in my calamity. There's many of you here who I know I'm speaking to. I want you to come down to this altar area right here. You said, man, I just feel uncovered. Just want somebody to pray for me, cover me. Thank you, man of God. Come quickly all over the building. Listen, if it's you, just come. Don't look around. Just come. Holy Spirit will talk to you. He'll just nudge you. Just come. I just feel uncovered right now. Come on, keep coming. I know there's many of you in the sanctuary here this morning. Pastor, I just feel so uncovered right now. I just feel exposed. I just need somebody to cover me. Sometimes you get to a place where even when it comes to prayer, you don't even want to tell this person specifically what you need them to pray about. You just want to say, can you just cover me? God knows. Some of you have been let down by a father. Some of you have been let down by a mother. Some of you have been let down by friends, by family. Some of you have been let down by a church, by a pastor, by people within the church. Some of you have been let down in relationships, husbands, wife, children. I want you to take this opportunity and come down to this altar. Say, I feel like, see, because many of you, and men and women, will be able to speak to this. Some of you have been improperly violated, emotionally, mentally, physically, sexually, financially. You've been violated. Gone through some tough patches in your life. Saying, Pastor Lon, I want to take this opportunity today and come to this altar and just ask just for covering for this season and this place in life that I'm in. Altar workers, can you come forward? There's men and women here at this altar, and those of you at the altar, Just lift your hands. I believe this is a unique time and season. Yes, God. Honey, I want you to just begin to pray.
Hallelujah. Thank even with Noah.
Listen, if the Lord moves up on your
he
heart,
he was uncovered.
Just move out from right where you are and just come down to this altar area.
And it's seen as a negative thing. But sometimes God will uncover some things to get you to come and run back to a place in him.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's not to hurt you. It's yes. not to kill you or to defeat you. But it's for you to run back to him, to come back, to focus, to get your life back in alignment, to get you on course again, to bless you. So sometimes he have to uncover some things in our lives.
Yes, God.
So, Father, we just, yes. we come before you today and we just repent, Lord God, for anything that we have allowed in our lives that would cause us to be uncovered, that would cause us to be naked and exposed.
Yes.
And, Father, we repent for that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we need you. We're desperate for you.
Yes, God.
And Father, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
And Father, we just focus
yes,
on you.
Yes,
we're
God.
Desperate for you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we want you to help us to get to a place
Jesus.
That we've never been, that we've never seen before. Father, we thank you for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Who died on the cross, who shed his blood for me.
Jesus.
For all humanity. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus. That he covered my sins. He covered a multitude of sin. He is covering my sin. He is covering me daily. Father, we thank you.
Yes.
That he was the ultimate sacrifice for me, that I would not have to carry this load, that I would not have to carry this weight. Lord, thank you for covering me. Thank you for not letting me go there. Thank you for not letting me get that job. Thank you for not letting me marry that person. Thank you for not letting me take those drugs. Thank you for not letting me commit suicide. You covered me with your grace. You covered me with your mercy. We thank you, Lord. That your mercy, you cover me. You cover me daily. Places that I want to go, you're saying not to go. Things that I want to do, you're saying not to do. Not now. It's not the time. Thank you, Lord, that you cover me. Help me to stay under your covering. Help me to stay under your covering, Jesus. Help me to stay where it's safe. Help me to stay where there's blessings. Help me to stay where there's the favor of the Lord. Help me to stay where there's righteousness and holiness. Thank you for covering me. When I was talked about, when I was mocked, you covered me. When they laughed at me, you covered me. Thank you that the blood covers me. Thank you that the blood washes me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
God is still doing miracles. God is in the miracle business. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you to cover me. Closest person to you and say, tell them the same thing. Tell them, I need you. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Watch this. Watch this. That same person, tell them, I will make mistakes, but I'll need you to cover me. Live a perfect life, but you need somebody to cover you in spite of a mistake that you may make. Amen, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I am going to dismiss here in just a moment. I'm going to seek the blessing. You don't have to run out. Please don't. We want to receive communion together. We did not receive it last Sunday as my spiritual mother was here, so I wanted to give her that full allotment of time to minister. But I see men and the women of God who handle our communion just preparing. Can you all over the building just prepare your hearts right now? Men and women of God, prepare your hearts to receive of the Lord's Supper. May everybody in this building right now a true evaluation of your life. The Bible says that if a man or a woman has any ought in their heart, anything that you're holding against anybody, you don't want to receive of this holding on to that. So I want us as a community of people of faith to just repent before God. Everybody in here. Father God, if there be anything in us impure, anything, Lord God, that does not line up with your will and your way, and certainly your works, Father God, may you cleanse us right now. Father, we repent of anything that we have committed before you, which is impure and unholy. From the depths of our hearts, Lord God, we lay it at your feet and we open up the avenue of reception that it would be clean, pure,
holy before we receive of your communion. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. Men and women of God, you can begin to pass that out. Your hearts. Thank Jesus for his ultimate sacrifice on Calvary for each of us. We honor him, we glorify his name as we receive of this communion on this day. For the Lord spoke unto us and he said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Let us receive. He said to do this in remembrance of him. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your new covenant. In my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he shall come again. Let us drink. Let everybody in the room be refreshed and be thankful of the blood of Jesus. It reaches, it reaches, it reaches, it reaches, it reaches.
Oh, yeah.
speak the blessing into you. This blessing will keep you. It will strengthen you. It will cover you. Amen. First and foremost, you all be covered in the precious blood of Jesus. And may the cloud of God lead you and protect you in your every walk of life. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody say, it's my best season.
My best season.
And as I said earlier, we speak the cloud covering over every order step of your life. May you break through and break out into a new destiny and a new purpose upon your life. We bless your homes, your jobs, your finances. We bless you physically, emotionally, intellectually. Tell you each and every week, God has only given us one incredible life to live. All we can do is live it and be the very best that we can. Be excited, be energetic. Give it away, huh? Be excited, be energetic, be full of life. So much so that you do what? She was so excited, she said, give it away already. Amen. Love on somebody, you all. We'll meet you in the hallway.